Okay, cool.
I guess I better get more content up there.
You're listening to Swept Together, the story of a modern romance between two adventurers at home, at work, and on the road.
We're your hosts, Annabelle and Christian. Join us as we explore the world and make our home together, wherever we end up.
Because after all, home is
perfectly imperfect. Hello, and welcome to the show, guys. It is episode 25, and we're about to have our
25
quarter
episode old.
About to have our quarter life crisis. Just kidding. And today we're talking about perfectionism, which is something that I struggle with and Christian doesn't understand at all.
Well, not that I don't understand. Well, look, you're in the middle of your launch for the Spruce, which is a new product that Annabelle is offering, or a new service, rather, that Annabelle is offering for her business. And she'd been planning this for quite a while now, and it's been put off for, I don't know, how long has it been put off for?
I've had this idea for at least a year, probably longer than that.
Right. And because of the whole perfectionism thing, which is what we'll be talking about today, it's been put off and put off and put off. But
yes.
No more.
No more.
It
will show up this Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so if you want to listen to any of our old episodes, you can go on our website, which is
SweptTogether.com, and you can find all of the details from today's episode at SweptTogether.com/episode25.
Yeah, and if you're listening on iTunes or the podcast app, you can rate us on there. It's really easy. You could just go to SweptTogether.com/share the love for instructions. And if you could do that, that would be perfect.
You're so punny.
So anyway, speaking of being perfect, I have a story about perfection, which I think it's really the thing that shaped the way I look at perfection. And for this, I have to thank my mother because, you know, okay, so I'm Filipino. And so my mom grew up in a culture that really admired, you know, good grades and, you know, doing really well in school. And that was how she viewed the world, you know. And you have to understand from my mom's perspective, like the world was like super easy. She was like straight A student throughout, even like since kindergarten is what everybody told us, you know.
Right.
When we were in the Philippines, lots of people came up to us and like, oh, you're, you know, girly's son? And I'm like, yes. And then they would inevitably tell us the stories of how smart she was and like all the good grades and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And so that when she became a parent, obviously she wanted to pass that along to me. And so she expected that amount of, you know, that level of proficiency in school, which I did not have because I don't know. I mean, not that I'm not smart. I don't think I mean, dumb. I just didn't think that I needed to get like straight A's like she did, but that was the expectation that was set on me. And what happened was entirely different. Basically, I just rebelled against all of that. And I was like, nope, I'm not going to get straight A's.
Shocking.
Yeah. Because she told me to get straight A's, so I'm not going to get straight A's. I just, you know, kind of rebelled against her because I didn't want to do that. And she expected like perfection from me, basically. And when I couldn't deliver perfection, I was just like, there's no way I can be perfect in your eyes ever.
So I might as well be mediocre.
Yeah. I wasn't mediocre. I mean, I got good grades, but, you know, I wasn't straight A's or whatever. I remember when I got like a B+, and I was really proud of it because I guess it was some class that was really difficult. I don't even remember this class. I could just be making this up in my head, but let's just go with it. So I got a B+ in a class that we don't know which class it was, but it was hard. Let's just say. And I was like, hey, I got a B+. It's awesome. And then my mom was like, why didn't you get an A? And then I remember that distinctly. And I was like really pissed off at her because I was like, that's what you could say. I mean, it's a B+. It's not that bad, you know, but to her, in her mind, you know, it wasn't perfect and therefore it was nothing. So that, I think that's why I'm like, you know, I don't really care to be perfect. It is like, I'm gonna try my best. Obviously, it's not like I'm gonna just slack off and not do anything and be mediocre, but I didn't care to be perfect in her eyes or anyone else's because I knew I was not perfect and that I would never achieve like some level of perfection that somebody had set out or laid out for me. That's my story of being perfect. And that's the topic of today's show is the pursuit of perfection. And is it a good thing to do?
Yeah, which interestingly, we grew up in very different homes. My parents.
You didn't grow up in my house?
Actually, I did. No. I
Where
just
were you?
mean
In the
that,
other room?
yeah.
I was looking for you the whole time.
I
Where were you,
know,
babe?
took you long enough. It's the world's longest game of hide and seek. No, I grew up in, you know, a house where like my parents never like we never had a conversation about my grades.
Ever? Like you didn't even have to show your report card or
I mean,
like
I'm
there's
sure I
midterm,
did.
not midterm. What is a you know, like in the middle or you the progress reports, there you
Yeah,
go.
yeah. I mean, I'm sure that I, you know, had to show them progress reports or that they had to sign. I mean, I'm sure they knew what my grades were.
Yeah, 'cause you had to get it signed, right?
Right.
You didn't have to.
But we never had like a conversation about like, oh, why did you get, you know, a B or why did you get? I mean, I
Did you get
did,
a B
yeah.
in high school?
1 B+. So I did
It was the
very,
B plus. Look at that.
yeah,
It
I
was my B
did.
plus.
Yeah, I did very well in school. So it's not like, I mean, maybe it was just because they never had to have a conversation with me because they saw that I was like working hard. But yeah, they never, I mean, my parents never like sat me down and said like, you have to get straight A's or, you know, like in order to get into a good college, you have to do X, Y, and Z or like, I mean, they never really set any sort of expectations on me. I did grow up in like a very rigorous like academic environment.
Yes, I can attest to that. When we were there in November for Thanksgiving, we were in Starbucks during Thanksgiving week, so presumably that's when like kids have off, right? And I looked around, I was like, what are all these kids? Like I saw a bunch of teenagers
Yeah.
and I was like, babe, what is happening here? Why are all these people here? And then you saw one had like a new Trier,
Yeah, I'm like,
like
these are all new Trier high school students
yeah, and they were
studying.
all studying. I mean, except for the one girl who was looking online for like shoes. I saw her. I
Well, she's
caught
still a
her.
teenager.
Yeah, that's true. But all the other ones, they were like, they had their laptops out and they were like writing a report of some kind. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't like looking over their shoulder to make sure their grammar was good. But presumably that's what was happening.
Yeah, they were
They
all
weren't screwing around
studying.
on Facebook, let's put it that way.
Yeah, they were all studying. It yeah, so I grew up in an environment that like really challenged me academically, but my parents never tried to put any sort of pressure on me about, you know, my achievement in school. And despite that, I developed this like pretty intense desire slash need slash impulse to achieve perfection. And I've been that way, I mean, pretty much through as
Most of your
long as I
life.
can remember. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure why I developed that.
So are we gonna do that with our children? Are we just gonna be like, hey, you guys can do whatever you want and hope for the best? Like we had separate, like our childhoods were totally different.
Yes.
And maybe it was the rebellious side of me, mm-hmm. and you were the rule abiding, this is how you should be doing things,
yeah,
kind of way.
Yeah.
No, this is that, maybe it's our personalities more than the influence of our right. parents.
I'm like, where's the line? I want to be as far away from the line as possible in the like safe zone.
Right.
I don't want to have any possibility of potentially even a little bit getting in trouble.
And I repeatedly like played jump rope with that line with my parents and got in trouble all the time to the point where it was just like, well, what am I in trouble for today?
Right.
But I still got good grades. I mean, it's not like yeah. I had straight A's or whatever.
I mean, I think that I would like to hope that I would be the kind of parent that would not discount my kids for getting B's or whatever grade they got, as long as they were working hard. You know, I think I would get mad if my kids failed a class, but just for blatant, like, lack of trying, like, never turned in their homework and never showed up to class. I would probably be mad then.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that would be, like, not doing their best.
Right.
Which you and I both, we did our best. It's not like we were screwing right. around or right. whatever. I remember doing homework, but, and especially when I was in high school and taking AP classes and stuff, mm-hmm. I was like, I had to do homework. It was like a weight on my shoulder if I didn't do the homework
right.
before I, you know, did whatever I did after school, right? Mm-hmm. Which is screwing around and yeah. getting in trouble. But at least I did my homework before I got in trouble.
I mean, that's true.
So that's true. Good. Yeah. I was being responsible before being irresponsible.
Yeah, exactly.
My priorities.
Oh, man. Parenting is going to be fun.
Yeah, well.
We have no idea what we're doing, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, and that's like the thing, too, is like, you know, there's all these different methods now of parenting. Like, you're supposed to, like, yesterday we had dinner yesterday at our friends, and then they were like, well, now you're not supposed to.
They're new parents.
Yeah, they're new parents. And, you know, you're not supposed to put the baby on their belly or stomachs to sleep. You know, before it was like, of course you would put your baby to sleep on their stomach. But then, you know, then it was like, oh, they die that way. So you should probably not do that.
Yeah.
So now you put your baby on their back or whatever. So now there's like all these different methods.
Right.
And then not, I mean, I'm sure I was put on my stomach. I was of that generation of parents.
I don't know.
I'm not dead.
Well, that's good.
So.
I mean, yeah. I think it's just that every kid's going to be different. So there's not one way to parent. But this isn't a parenting episode and we really don't know what we're talking about. So maybe we should like move on to something else.
Yeah. Right.
We could pontificate about this forever and be like totally off base.
Our kind of like our baby is this podcast.
So all of our parent listeners who are rolling their eyes, we're moving on now.
No, our baby is this podcast because we created it together.
That's true.
And, you know, we had totally different attitudes about when we were first talking about it.
Yes.
Back last
summer?
Like summer? July? Yeah. June, July?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we recorded.
Our first episode in July when we recorded the first episode.
But we didn't release it until like
September.
And I was just like, we should just get a website, put it together, and then throw it up there. And get it done by, what did I say, like August or something?
Well, you were pretty much like, let's just put it out there this week.
3 weeks.
Or like next week. Like, you wanted to jump right in feet first for sure.
Yeah.
Whereas I was more like, hey, we need to like build a website and like have pictures and a logo and
colors.
Like, make it look somewhat decent before we throw it out there into the world and like maybe prepare a little bit. But I, you know, I was more of like the let's launch in like, you know, maybe for New Year's or something, which obviously we didn't do that. But we met in the middle in September.
Right. I don't think we, was it really, did you want to?
I don't know how far I said, how long I said that it was going to take. Well, because I knew that like if we wanted to get photos taken, if we wanted to work with a graphic designer for the logo, which we did, that it wasn't going to, it was going to take longer than like 2 weeks to do all of that.
Right.
And so I was overestimating and.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we launched in September, so we had about 3 months of preparation.
And I don't think it wasn't like perfect either. We still had, I mean, we were working without microphones. We were recording with just a little handheld recording.
It was a microphone, but.
Well, yeah, not like the mics that we have now is
correct,
what I'm saying. We
yeah.
didn't have the equipment that we have now that, you know, we really didn't have it all dialed in.
Right.
I don't think we still have it totally dialed in, but I'm not saying that we're perfect now, but, you know, we did.
Right, we've improved since things have come out in the 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Since we've been recording.
Right. And then so we've, you know, learned about, you know, what kinds of mics we like, and we've gone through different iterations. So if you like listen to our first few episodes versus our last few episodes, the sound quality is a lot better, I think. And then, you know, we've done stuff to the website, you know, here and there, and made it a little bit better and you know, each time. So, you know, it wasn't perfect when we first launched.
Right. We've made tweaks as we've gone.
Right. And then, I mean, what do you think about, you know, the idea of shipping out or launching a product quickly versus perfectly? I mean, you're in the middle of a launch right now. That's why I ask.
Yeah.
So, or you're about to be in the middle of a launch like this week.
Right.
So.
I mean, I'm in the middle of it right now because I'm doing all the preparations and stuff. I think, you know, I've been learning that it's important to just get stuff out there because like people can't hire you if you don't tell them what you do.
Right.
So unless it's out there on the website, you know, they're not going to know that you do it.
Yeah.
Or if you don't, you know, if you don't talk about it or if you don't show your work, then people aren't going to know that you do those things. And so I've definitely learned a lot in the last year about stepping out before I'm feel totally ready and just making progress. When I launched the Juniper last year, which is my travel video editing package, I, you know, recorded the videos, the training videos for that package in my living room. You know, it was me and my camera and I set it up and, you know, that was like one step, you know, towards something that I had envisioned. And then, you know, I didn't even really do any sort of like formal launch. I was just like, now I have this thing. And this year, you know, I've improved some and I, you know, actually rented a space to shoot my training videos and I wrote a free course that I'm, you know, giving away to my, you know, people who are signed up to receive my postcards from Evergreen Lane. They're getting like a free course this week on creating compelling video content.
What if somebody wants to get in on that course during the middle of the week? Like we're recording this on Sunday.
Right.
But.
And that's the thing is that I'm learning how to do all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens if somebody signs up in the middle of the week. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were things that I had wanted to do, you know, like we talked about when you were looking over my, you know, my course, like, oh, this would be so cool as like a video series. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I initially envisioned it. But if that's how I was going to do it, like it wouldn't be launched and I need to get it launched, you know?
Right.
And so it's just like you have to make sacrifices in decision making, you know, and then, you know, I haven't really had much of a marketing strategy for this launch, but I'm one step further than I was last year.
Right.
And the next time I launch it, I'll be one step further than I am now.
Right.
You know, the next time I promote it and things like that. I think I'm, you know, it's a constant battle for me because I see all the imperfections and everything. And I know where I want it to be in my head, and it's not where I want it to be in my head. And so I hold back and I'm trying to work on that.
Right. Well, I mean, you're doing a good job because you've got it out now. I mean, like, you know, think of it like last year mm-hmm. when you had thought about this and you hadn't done anything and it was just concept.
Right.
So it was just, you know, thoughts. Mm-hmm. But now, even though it's not, you know, exactly the vision that you had, it's a, you know, version one. And then version one will turn into version two, which is maybe, you know, you'll have it in video form.
Right.
Which, you know, it would be more towards the vision that you had in your head last year. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it was, you know, it's something that you are developing and you're making available to everybody that wants it. And I think that's better than waiting.
Right.
So that nobody has it and you don't have your stuff out there. Because, I mean, this is like the whole social media phenomenon mm-hmm. where people are, they want it to be, what is it, Insta-worthy?
Yeah.
Or something. Like their pictures need to be
everything very needs to be curated
and tailored and perfect because they want to have that. They want to show that they're perfect to totally. Everybody else.
Totally.
Even though everybody else knows that they're not perfect. Like, who are they trying to fool? I mean, is it because they want to fool themselves? Do you think? When I take Instagram, I don't know how to use Instagram, but when I take Instagram pictures, I'm like, look at this thing, click, and then post. And that's it. That's really my whole Instagram strategy.
Yeah.
Is, oh, look at that. That looks cool. Click. And then I don't even use filters, or I don't even know what filters are better. I mean, sometimes I do, I guess. I'll just be like, flip, 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 flip. That, I guess that looks good. Post. And then I don't really know how to do the hashtag thing, you know, which hashtags are better than others. I just kind of want to put it out there because I think it's interesting.
Right.
Not because, you know, I'm trying to get followers or whatever. Basically, all my followers are like either spammers or people that I know. Maybe I should change that. But I mean, that's the like social media effect.
Right.
Of perfection.
Right. Well, I think it's, you know, it's interesting because people want, you know, that quote unquote authenticity from the people that they're following. And yet they're also following because the feed is pretty to look at or inspiring or, you know.
So there's like a dichotomy between like that and versus authenticity. So how do you figure out?
Well, yeah, it like creates an environment where people expect your authentic situation to be perfect.
Well, that's dumb.
I mean, I agree. I don't think that that's good, but I think that that's kind of what is being created by, you know, by the system. Because there are a lot of times where, you know, I'm like, oh, like I need to post something on Instagram, but like I'm not doing anything
cool or
anything pretty today. So
just laying around in shorts.
Right. I mean, the life of a entrepreneur is like 90% sitting in front of your computer in like
PJs,
a sweatshirt. So, which is what I happen to be doing right now.
Yeah. And, but like, you know, even if I think back to the first few episodes, do you remember how long it took me to edit them? Or even when we were recording, I would be like, no, wait, I got to record that again. And then now it's just like, I'm just going to say stuff. And then editing takes me way less time now than it did before.
Right.
But because I like had to tweak a bunch of settings and figure out like which, you know, things to, I was like using filters and effects and stuff and
right.
was not necessary at all. because now I don't even use any of the filters or effects or anything. I just record us and then I go through and edit out the stupid stuff that comes out. And then try to make it sound like, you know, more coherent.
Right.
But for the most part, like editing the show isn't, it's really just going through and then just like cutting out, you know, periods of awkward silences. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Now I'm not worried about it sounding like perfect anymore.
Right.
Than just sounding like us. So I was talking to Jeff the other day. Mm-hmm. So our friend Jeff, we have a friend Jeff, and he was like, you know, it sounds like you guys. It doesn't sound like you guys are trying to make it, you know, trying to be fake or like this, some other kind of personality. Like, this is just you guys having a conversation. And I was like, that's really nice for you to say.
Because, that's exactly what we want.
Right. Because I don't want to be somebody else or like this other kind of personality like that. I don't want to have two different personalities, like the podcast version of us versus the non-podcast version of us.
Right.
I think that would be weird.
I agree. It would be weird.
So.
And it would get exhausting after a while. Trying to be perfect is super exhausting.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, like...
And you're always on edge, like, being worried of being found out.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing with, you know, when I talked about my mom at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. So, like, my mom wanted me to be perfect and, you know, perfect like how she envisioned her youth. Mm-hmm. And she wanted me to follow in that same path. Mm-hmm. And... I guess maybe there was a point at which I really tried and, you know, and maybe it was that story within the story where I got that B+ or something. And, you know, I finally was just like, I'm never going to A, achieve perfection or B, live up to your level of perfection. So I'm just going to do my thing and I'm going to try my best and it's going to be good enough for me. And if it's not good enough for you, well, sorry. So yeah, I think that was, you know, that goes along with this whole thing.
Yeah.
How long has it taken for you to be a recovering? Are you still recovering from being a perfectionist?
Yes,
definitely. Is it like one of those, like, you know, like the Alcoholics Anonymous, where you're always an alcoholic, but you... You know what I'm talking about?
Perfectionist Anonymous.
You know what I'm talking about, though? Like how they say, like, you're always going to be an alcoholic, but...
Right.
You're never going to not be that, but you can, like, control it or manage it or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been...
Don't know how I feel about that.
Do you think you'll ever be not a perfectionist? Or is there a time where you'd be like, you know what? I'm doing the best I can and this is good enough, so I'm not going to beat myself up for being not perfect.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I'll ever reach that point. I would say probably I didn't really grapple with this much until my divorce.
So, being a perfectionist?
Yeah.
Like you were more cognizant of it or...
Well, I mean, I knew
became more of a perfectionist or what do you mean by that?
No, I knew that I was being a... I knew that I was a perfectionist, but it was like manageable.
So you're aware.
But yeah, but I had right, but I had the ability to like I hadn't like exceeded my abilities, you know, like in the sense
what do you mean?
Well, like for example, being a perfectionist in high school was manageable because I was able to get straight A's.
So
I was never faced with like a big enough failure to make me be like, well, I can't be perfect, so I might as well not try. You know what I mean? Yeah. I had always succeeded in my perfectionism.
Because it came easy to you?
Right.
Like the grades came easy to you?
Yeah, the grades. I mean, doing well at work, at school, like even in like being a friend or whatever, you know, like I was always like I succeeded at being perfect most of the time, you know? And so even though it was like a lot of mental work, it was like, well, I can do this, so it's fine. But then like once I went through my divorce, and that was really like my first, it was like a big public failure. At least that's what it felt like to me, you know, like.
Because everybody, all your friends, everybody your family.
Knew, you know, even like, I mean, thanks to social media, like randos knew that I had, you know, that my marriage had failed.
Your friends with randos?
No, but I mean, like.
I know, I'm just messing with you.
People on the internet knew, you know, all of this stuff. It was, you know, it felt like a very public failure after I had tried very hard to be, you know, the quote unquote perfect wife. And that was, I think, the point when I really realized, like, you know, like perfection, like, does it really get me anywhere? Like, what has it accomplished in my life so far? You know, and while I had accomplished a lot at that point, like the thing that really mattered to me, which was my marriage, like didn't continue, you know, even despite me trying to be perfect.
Right.
And so I think, I guess that would put me at about 3 years into recovery of my perfectionist ways. I think, you know, personally, I feel like I've come a long way in those 3 years.
Yeah.
Of like embracing a less than perfect version of myself, you know, more, I don't know, I hate to use the word authentic because that's kind of a buzzword, but a more me.
A more you. More you version of you.
But I don't know that I'm ever going to be like completely free of that kind of voice in the back of my head that's wanting me to do everything right, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a difference between doing things right and then trying to like be perfect though.
I don't know that perfectionists see a distinction there.
Okay. Well, I'm not a perfectionist, I guess, so.
But yeah, but I know what you mean.
Should we talk about pros and cons about being perfectionist? I mean, is there a pro to being perfectionist? I guess you put out good stuff.
Yeah.
Perfect things.
Yeah.
Or at least perfect in your mind.
Well, I don't think we ever put out I don't know that we put out perfect things, but we put out really good things.
Right.
But then the con of it. We're committed to like working really hard.
But then the con of it is that in this world, I guess in this context, because things change so quickly. And, you know, people are, you know, always looking for new stuff.
Right. You can miss the boat on a lot of things.
Right. If you are waiting to have that perfect whatever or perfect your idea before putting it out there, you know, something what your idea this year, what will happen next year, it might be totally different. So if you don't put your idea out there now, then that's just not going to, it might not even come to fruition ever.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, like right now, like this podcast, for example, there's not as many podcasts out there as there are like, say, TV shows, but then podcasting is growing and growing and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we didn't start putting out podcasts, you know, like last year, then we might have missed, we would maybe miss the boat on that.
Well, we certainly would have not, we wouldn't be where we are now had we not started then.
Right. Yeah, we would still be way at the beginning, way at the conceptual phase and all of that. I think a perfect way to end the show is to do a sweep up. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Ooh, I love those segues.
Oh, man.
What made you feel loved today?
Well, today we spent some time at the RV getting things, you know, getting things ready, and we had picked out some, you know, some fabric and some things for the inside of the RV. We wanted to scope it out. And so we drove over there, and being with you in the RV and like thinking about all the exciting things that we have planned for this year, and the fact that that's like gonna be our little like home together, is really exciting to me and made me feel really loved.
You're welcome, babe.
What made you feel loved today?
When we were at the RV, and then we had our friend David, who is like very good at woodworking, and he came in to kind of look at the area where we were going to make a desk, and he's actually going to be making the desk for us. And so we were kind of like designing it on the fly, mm-hmm. and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, talking about like perfection versus imperfection, you know, versus functionality, you know, in this episode, you know, we were talking about like how it's going to look and how it's going to function and all that. And I, you know, I was just like, well, I mean, this is going to hold your piano, which is something that, you know, you value mm-hmm. very much. And, you know, this is something that we wanted to have in the RV so that we can like create music together, like at least mm-hmm. you know, practice music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you're like very, you know, very go with the flow about it. You know, like, let's put out some of these ideas, and like, how about this idea? How about this, the way this hinge is going to look? Or, you know, how about if it's like a lid? And then you're like, yeah, let's just do that. You know, you weren't like, you weren't like trying to control like the the flow of the conversation. You were just like letting the ideas flow. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like in the end, but you know, you're very open to different ideas and suggestions and things like that. And that's, you know, I think that's a good indicator of like the kind of person that you are, because, you know, you're not like, this is my idea and this is the only way it should happen.
Bow to my authoritarian rule.
Right. It's not like that. you already had a picture of like how someone else had done it.
Right.
And that's kind of like where the genesis of this idea came from. But you weren't tied to that specific thing just because it was, you know, kind of your idea. Even though it was like somebody else's stuff. It was
right.
The what you had envisioned was something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But you were like not so controlling of the ideas, at least in this stage.
Right.
You know, so that way, you know.
Yeah.
We can have like a free, open discussion about stuff. And that just to me seems like who you are. And that's what made me feel loved.
Oh, thanks, babe.
And what about you guys? What made you guys feel loved this week, today? Sometime in the past. let us know. Go to our show notes, swepttogether.com/episode25, and share us with your friends or your family if you found any value in this conversation. If you're a perfectionist now or a recovering perfectionist, or you are like me, like who is okay with being imperfect at all times or embracing imperfection, I don't know. Tell us, let us know, share us with your friends, and let them, you know, kind of listen to us.
Right. And you can find us at pretty much everywhere at Swept Together. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Swept Together, and, reach out to us and let us know, you know, where you're at, or, just say hi. We love to hear from you guys. And if you have a moment, we would really, really appreciate a rating and a review on iTunes or the podcast app. And so we just wanted to close out the show by kind of encouraging you that, you know, done is better than perfect. And sometimes it's better to just take a step, especially if you tend towards perfectionism. Chances are whatever it is that you're wanting to do is already pretty darn good because you're a perfectionist. And so you've probably already worked really hard on it and thought through your stuff a lot. So what is it, you know, what is it that you've been putting off because you want it to be perfect? And maybe this week you could think about one step that you could take towards moving that project forward.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, it's a part of you that you're sharing with the world, and that's never a bad thing. You know, it's like you want to put your labor of love out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer you delay it, the less love you put out. Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I mean, like our friend that we talked about earlier in this podcast, Jeff, and his wife, Janice, they just started a website called usacampercam.com. They're going to be going on an RV adventure like us, you know, him and her and their son, their little, you know, 3-year-old son. They're going to go out on an adventure just like us. You know, they're going to go in their own route, but he wanted to get a website together and kind of put their adventures online as well. And, you know, Jeff bought a domain and started his first blog post, and it didn't look like very professional right now because he's just using like the WordPress free themes or whatever. But I was like, good, you should just use that because that's what works right now.
Right.
Like, get it out there.
Get it out there.
And get the, you know, get your thoughts, your content. So he published his first blog post on there, and then Janice will be doing the same thing. So, you know, just do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, get it out there. Whatever it is that you're working on, it's good enough for now.
Yeah. Yep.
And it'll get better and better as time goes on. And even that's a cool thing too, is like seeing the progress that's been made.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, part of it is the process. So.
Yep.
And we just want to say thanks so much for tuning in this week,
mm-hmm.
and listening to us babble about perfection and being imperfect. And there's no, in March, we'll be talking about this. Maybe you can talk about this on our next show or something, but we'll be going to Antarctica, as you probably already know, if you haven't heard already.
Yeah, we've mentioned it a couple times on the podcast, but for the last 2 weeks of March,
we'll be on a ship.
We will be on a ship.
Puking.
No.
You won't be puking.
I won't be puking.
I need to go get my little...
You need to go get a motion sickness prescription, yes.
Yeah.
So
that I don't puke.
Yeah. We'll be out of all connectivity for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. For the last 2 weeks.
At the end of March.
Yeah.
And so there will be no podcast episodes those 2 weeks.
Yeah. But, you know what I just thought of?
Hmm.
If I don't get those motion sickness thing and then I end up puking, I could be like, you know, the mother penguins. And be like, wah.
I'm not eating your puke.
I'm not saying I'm going to feed you.
Gross.
It'll just encourage the penguins to come to me.
Gross.
And then I could high five them.
I don't think you want to be puking.
Anyway, we appreciate your encouragement. And until next time, we will talk to you soon.
Love you guys.
Something like, sorry.
Remember that one time where we put all of our devices on airplane mode to record the podcast? That was fun.
What am I, perfect?
You know what song I have stuck in my head?
A whim away, a whim away, a whim away, a whim away. I'm waiting on you, babe.
Skrrt! The end.